Now, Jonah, the man swallowed by a whale, was actually a prophet. So there are 3 points to my 3-point sermon this morning. Being a prophet is never easy. Prophets are truth tellers, not fortune tellers. And everyone, not just a special few, has been called to prophesy. First point, being a prophet is never easy. The way the lessons are presented to us today makes being a prophet look really easy. Jonah saves 120,000 people, not counting the animals, when he walks through the foreign city of Nineveh, the enemy. And Jesus walks along the Sea of Galilee and calls 4 disciples, and they immediately dump their nets and their parents, and they go and follow him. Would we really want, though, to be a prophet? We know there's more to the story. Think about the beginning of the gospel today. After John was arrested by Herod, then Jesus went out to prophesy. Everybody knows being a prophet is not easy. Now, we all know about Jonah. He was the guy that got swallowed up by the whale and survived, and he is coughed up onto the shores of the Mediterranean. And I suspect that most people don't know the whole story of Jonah, and I told it to my unchurched sister on the phone last night, and she had never heard this story, so I'm hoping that some of you haven't heard it either. Actually, the story of Jonah thousands of years ago was a legend that was circulating all around the Middle East. When we lived in Lebanon in the 60s, we went to, among many places, 2 beaches, both of them called Nemi Yunus, which means the prophet Jonah, both of them declaring that they were the spot where when Jonah's body, still living, was cast out of the whale. And so with our 2 little boys, we eagerly combed the beaches at both sites of Nemi Yunus, and we picked up these little artifacts, which I'm passing around, and when you get to the second grouping, pass it around to the other side so you can all see what's still lying on the beaches from all those thousands of years. Now, how can a human being survive 3 days in the belly of the whale? That's the question that Jonah's story usually raises. Biblical literalists, of whom I've met many, will still argue that it was a miracle and that Jonah survived because of God's miracle. But it's not a story about miracles at all. It's a story that points out how hard it is to be a prophet. It's even a story that makes fun of prophets, especially Jonah. Here's some more reasons not to be a prophet. You might be killed. You might be thrown into jail like John the Baptist. You will be hated. You might even be laughed at. Now, after centuries of Jonah's tale being told in various Semitic languages, the Hebrew book of Jonah was written down about 500 years before Jesus was born. And in the book, the writer takes the old legend and he turns it into a short story. What do you mean that every single word in the Bible is not the word that issued from God's mouth, but there is poetry and there is even a wonderful short story or two? It's a very short story. It's only 4 chapters long. I recommended to my sister last night that she read it because it's so short, and she's a wonderful sister, but I'm not sure she's going to read it. It's a little hard to find, but it's worth reading. So here's the story. God calls Jonah to be a prophet, but Jonah does not want to do it. The whole idea of going all the way from Israel to Nineveh, a big city in today's Iraq, to be a prophet to a foreign people, turns Jonah completely off. He is absolutely sure, and he tells God, that no one in Nineveh is going to listen to him, and it's all going to be a waste of time. But God wants him to go to Nineveh. So Jonah runs away to Joppa, which is still a little city on the coast of Israel. And he gets into a ship that's headed for Turkey. And he falls asleep in his bunk, and he's happy as can be because he's getting away from the task. And while he's asleep and keeping on sleeping, mind you, God sends a tremendous storm up. And all of the sailors on the boat fall to their knees in the midst of the storm, and they each are crying out to their very own God, because they come from all these different countries, begging their gods to stop the storm, and nothing happens. So finally, the captain goes down, and he wakes Jonah up, and he says, "Jonah, Jonah, we are about to sink, and we need you to pray to your God, too. Maybe your God will do the trick." But Jonah knows the reason for the storm. So he convinces the captain and the other sailors to throw him overboard as an offering to God and to the sea, and the storm will cease, he promises. And after much arguing, he gets thrown into the water, and sure enough, the storm dies down. The ship is fine, and then God sends a great sea creature. Nowhere in the story does it say it's a whale. It's a great sea creature. You would not believe. The library's full of debates about what kind of a fish it was. So God sends a great sea creature which swallows Jonah up, and there he lives in the belly of the whale. The story is told in the Quran, too. And in the Quran, the acid in the sea creature's stomach is so awful that Jonah's skin breaks out in great welts, and he cries out again to God, "Save me, save me, save me," and he confesses his sins and his disobedience. Then God speaks to the sea creature, and Jonah gets spit out onto dry land, at whatever Nebi Yunus you want to imagine. There Jonah landed. Now, after his rescue, he knows that he has to go to Nineveh. So he walks 1,000 miles to Nineveh, muttering all the way that nobody is ever going to listen to him. And when he gets there, he walks through the streets, calling on people to repent. He didn't have one of those signs like you see in the newspapers, but that's exactly what was going on. Repent! The day is near. And to Jonah's surprise, they repent. And they put on sackcloth, and they throw ashes on their heads, and they fall on their knees, and they confess their sins to Jonah's God, the God of Israel. And God, being a forgiving God, forgives them. And Jonah, to quote my husband, is pissed. And he says to God, "I knew you were a forgiving God. I knew you would forgive them. This foreign people with their foreign customs and their foreign gods, and you forgive them." And he's furious. "And now, O Lord," he says, "just put me out of my misery." And he leaves the city, and he goes out just beyond the gates, and he finds a place to sit down in the dust, in the hot midday sun, and he broods, and he waits to die. And the story says, the Lord God caused caused a little vine to grow up over Jonah, growing so fast in one day that it covered him and provided shade so that he was no longer being smited, or whatever the word is, by the hot sun. And he's sitting in the shade, and all of a sudden, a worm comes and eats up the vine, and the vine dries up and crumbles to his feet. And there is Jonah once again out in the hot sun waiting to die. And Jonah calls on God once again to kill him off, or at least giving his shade back. And then God finally speaks to Jonah. And now I'm quoting straight from the story. "So you are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and you didn't grow. It came into being in one night and it perished in a night. And shouldn't I be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people, not to mention all the animals?" And Jonah says again to God, "I knew that you are gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of abounding love. But who is getting your mercy? Me? Or these foreigners who don't even believe in you?" So here's the way my sermon started. Being a prophet is never easy. Prophets are truth tellers, not fortune tellers. And everyone, not just a special few, everyone has a call to prophesy. Increasingly in our country, we are two foreign countries to each other. And many of us in this country, like Jonah, are beginning to think that God should have no mercy on the foreigners, on the illegal aliens, on the people with different faiths, or on the liberals, or on the big spenders. And most of us in this country still think that one person, the right person, the prophet with a capital P, will make all the difference. One person will lead us to the promised land. And here's what I think the task in front of us is. We don't need any lone prophets. We need a multitude of prophets to speak the truth. A multitude of people who are not afraid of being laughed at, who are not afraid of being shouted at, or jailed, or sometimes even run over by a car, or killed in some other way. We need a multitude of prophets who have the guts that Jonah didn't have, because they understand that their job, our job, is to proclaim God's mercy upon everyone in this country, upon this entire earth, including, as the book of Jonah says, all the animals as well. So the question to ponder this morning is, what prophetic word has God given to you? What prophetic word has God given to you? And what can you brave to get it across?